Ever catch yourself daydreaming about a future where everyone, and I mean everyone, gets a chance to really make a difference?
Well, that's exactly what we're diving into today with Chandra Brin Borse's Every Willing Hand.
It's a fascinating book.
Yeah, Borse, he kind of blends economics with social commentary, even a touch of, dare I say, mysticism, to paint this really unique vision for a better future.
And he does this, like you were saying, by approaching this heavy topic, economics, like a Diego Rivera mural.
Right, exactly. Like, think about it, a mural. The book's full of symbolism, interweaving ideas in ways you wouldn't expect. But how does a mural, like a literal painting, help us understand something as, I don't know about you, but to me, economics can feel pretty cut and dry.
Well, think about how Rivera brought together those complex social and political themes in his murals, right?
Borse uses that same kind of approach, but instead of paint, he's using economic theories to connect personal experiences, societal structures, and even throws in some spiritual concepts. It's about seeing the bigger picture, how it's all connected.
It's definitely not your typical economics book, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Borse starts things off, and this really got me, with a heartbreaking story, a man's tragic suicide, because he just couldn't find work.
And sadly for Borse, this event, it wasn't just a news story, you know.
Right,
it
right.
was a turning point, a catalyst for his whole exploration of full employment. He wasn't satisfied with just abstract economic theories. No, he wanted to understand how to create a system that truly values the contributions of every single person.
Yeah, you can feel that urgency in his writing. He seems particularly drawn to the potential of young people, right? He keeps emphasizing this need to bridge the generational gap. And this is where it takes that really interesting turn. Borse starts talking about using technology, like computers, and even, get this, lie detectors, as tools for self-discovery. How does that even fit in?
It does seem like a strange combination at first.
It does.
But Borse saw these technologies as a way to help us understand ourselves better, you know, like our emotions, what motivates us. He believed that if we could tap into that, it could lead to more empathy and understanding between people. He was all about using tools, even high-tech ones, to promote human connection.
Okay, so he's drawing this line from technology to personal growth, which is fascinating on its own. But then on top of that, he layers in this whole other element, his fascination with Sufi teachings. He's exploring symbolism, inner guidance, and this thing he calls dying before death.
And this is where Borse's approach becomes really unique. He takes spirituality, something many see as completely separate, and integrates it with practical, even technical solutions. It's like he's suggesting that to really solve our economic and social problems, we need to look inward just as much as we look outward.
Okay, now you have to unpack that a little bit. Dying before death, that sounds a little intense, to be honest. What does that even mean, and how does that connect to, like, finding a job or building a better economy?
It's a powerful image, isn't it? Dying before death.
It is. But it's a little hard to grasp.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's definitely not literal. It's more about letting go, shedding that limited sense of self, that ego, to embrace something bigger. Imagine a caterpillar transforming to a butterfly, right?
Okay. Yeah.
It has to completely surrender to who it was to become something totally new, something more, well, more fully realized. Borse, he believed that idea of inner transformation, that's the key to real lasting change, not just for ourselves, but for the whole world.
So you're saying this dying before death, it's not about like an actual physical death, but about shedding old ways of thinking, those beliefs that might be holding us back.
Exactly. It's about realizing we're all connected, part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And Borse, he felt that shift in perspective. That's crucial for creating a society where everyone feels valued, where everyone has a chance to contribute.
That makes me think about how Borse compares computers to the Good Samaritan. It's like he's saying, even with all this amazing technology, we can't forget our humanity. Can you expand on that a little?
Absolutely. Borse was wary of becoming too reliant on technology. You know, like we might end up losing sight of those basic human values. He believed true progress requires this balance, technological advancement, yes, but also spiritual growth. Technology should serve us, not the other way around.
Right, like tools, not rulers.
Exactly. And remember, at the heart of it, he's advocating for a world where everyone has meaningful work. To get there, we need both the practical solutions and a collective shift in consciousness.
So it's both and, not either or.
Exactly.
He even brings up this economist, John H.G. Pearson, who was pushing for full employment back in the 1940s. What do you think Borse saw in Pearson's ideas?
Well, Bjors saw Pearson as someone who really understood the power of full employment to create a fairer society, a more just society. And Pearson, like Bjors, he believed full employment wasn't just like an economic goal. No, it was a moral imperative, a must do.
A must do.
Yeah. And one of Pearson's big ideas, and it was radical at the time, was the government's role in making full employment happen. He argued that the government, it should be like an employer of last resort, basically making sure that anyone who wants a job can get one, even if it means creating public projects.
So the government steps in when needed.
Exactly. And this really challenged the traditional economic thinking of the time, which often just accepted unemployment as a fact of life, you know, part of the business cycle.
Yeah, like it's inevitable.
Right. But Pearson said no.
So Bjors is showing us there are already models out there, like what Pearson was proposing, that could help us achieve full employment.
Precisely. And get this, he even highlights the potential of some really cutting-edge technology like ocean thermal energy conversion or OTEC. This technology, it's pretty wild. It uses the temperature difference between warm surface seawater and cold deep water to make electricity.
Hold on, electricity from seawater, how does that even work?
It's pretty amazing. Picture a power plant that's like a giant heat engine using the ocean's natural temperature differences. So warm surface water, it's used to vaporize a special fluid, which then drives a turbine to generate electricity. Then they pump up cold, deep ocean water, which cools that vapor back into a liquid, and the whole cycle just keeps going.
That sounds incredibly innovative. And sustainable too, right?
Exactly. Bjors was a huge advocate for renewable energy sources like OTEC. He saw these kinds of technologies as essential for a sustainable future for everyone, a future where we're not just meeting everyone's needs, but also protecting the planet.
I love it. So it's not just about jobs, it's about a whole new way of approaching energy.
Exactly. It's all connected.
It's incredible how Bjors ties together all these different ideas, economics, spirituality, technology. It's a really hopeful vision for the future, but it makes you wonder if it's also achievable. Why haven't we done it yet? It's almost like, I don't know, there's a disconnect somewhere. We have the knowledge, the technology, even these economic models that have been around, like what Pearson was advocating for. What's the holdup?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I think Bjors might say, and I tend to agree, that the missing piece is often just the will to change. Oh, interesting.
And that goes for both, on a personal level and as a society. It's just easier to stick with what we know, even when it's not working, than to really embrace new ways of thinking and doing things. It's uncomfortable.
So it's not enough to just have the right tools. It's about having the, I don't know, the courage, maybe, to actually use them.
Exactly. Bjors, he really challenged us to be more than just, like, passive bystanders in our own lives. He wanted us to take an active role in shaping the future. And that means being willing to, yeah, to challenge our own assumptions, to get a little uncomfortable, to embrace new possibilities. And it all starts with each of us individually.
That really resonates with me. And it makes me think about the book's title, Every Willing Hand. It's a call to action, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Bjors truly believed that everyone has a part to play in building a more just and equitable world. And he wasn't talking about just the big, grand gestures either.
Right. Everyday stuff.
Exactly. It's about the little things, the choices we make each day, how we treat each other, even when it's hard, the values we choose to live by. All of it matters.
It's that ripple effect, right? Mm-hmm. Recognizing that we're all connected and even our smallest actions can make a difference.
Precisely. Bjors was a big believer in the power of collective action, that when we come together with a shared purpose, we can accomplish incredible things.
It's a powerful message, especially now when things feel, I don't know, maybe a little chaotic, a little uncertain. So as we kind of wrap up this deep dive into Bjors' work, What's the key takeaway you hope our listeners will walk away with?
You know, if Bjors were here, I think he'd want us to remember that a brighter future, it is within our grasp. But it takes each of us, you know, stepping up, being active participants in creating that future, challenging the status quo, being open to new ideas, and most importantly, working together to create a world where everyone, and I mean everyone, has the chance to live a meaningful life, a life full of purpose.
To not just dream it, but to actually be it.
That's it, exactly.
I love it. So for our listeners who are out there thinking, okay, I'm ready to roll my sleeves. Where do I start?
Well, first, I definitely recommend checking out Every Willing Hand for yourselves. It's full of thought-provoking ideas, practical tips, all of it. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go straight to the source, shamsher.com.
Perfect. And here's something to think about. What does dying before death look like in your own life?
Like in one of those old patterns, those beliefs that you're ready to let go of to really step into your full potential. Something to think about as we wrap up for today. Until next time, keep asking those tough questions, keep exploring those new ideas, and keep diving deep.